We left off the very top of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. So the one was discussing a very strange potential get. A person walked into shul, takes to say the Torah of the Aron Kodesh. He presents it to his wife and says, "Harei ze gitech." So the wife says, "What kind of fart? What a joke is that?" It says, "Brish spell." It doesn't say anything about it. Get there. So the Gemara suggests the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, Imishim Christos Isbra. Maybe there is a get written there. Get in the sense of the Tukim and Chumash that describe the get. The Chos of Lost Sefer Krisos Lost Beyodah. So maybe that could serve as the get. Instead of thinking about, come on, how about you know, the Chos of Lost Shema Valeda? We all know, we don't know this by now, we're in trouble. The get has to be written, the Shema has to be written for that particular woman. So obviously this get, so to speak, this Tukim and Chos of Krisos was written by Sofer 20 years ago. It wasn't written for this particular woman. So the Chitim, the Gemara is relentless. The Gemara says, no, maybe it's possible that this Parsha in the Chumash was actually written in the Shema. How does that happen? The Chitim, Aleichesh Duma Akdim Yav Leizuzel Lesaf from Eikara. That maybe this Sefer Torah was commissioned by this fellow. Maybe we just had a Chalas Sefer Torah, we could go, how do you know? Maybe this fellow had paid this Ofer, and when he paid this Ofer, it's the $60,000 for the Sefer Torah, he said, and by the way, for that extra post, let me give you another $10. Have in mind when you write that pasuk, the shame I get for my wife. So in theory, the odds of this happening are quite low, but it is possible that the words of the Chos of Sefer Krisos were actually written in the Shema of this particular woman. So the Gemara says, but still, there's something really, really missing here. The Mishnah says later on that if you make a mistake in the name of the husband, or you make a mistake in the name of the wife, or you make a mistake in the city where the husband comes from, or the city where the wife comes from, the whole get is null and void. So it doesn't exactly say the name of the city, doesn't exactly say the name of the person in this pasuk about getin. So the chosma sefer krisos, even if in your wildest dreams it was written with shema, that this fellow paid the sofer to write that pasuk of shame himself and shame his wife, but it's absurd to say that that's considered a get. The name isn't there. She says, V'chosavah. And if you wrote in the name, and yeah, those are first possible. So obviously, you're not going to have a name of a person in the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, it's so obvious that this get is meaningless. So why did they even bother telling us the story? Rav Yosef by Kamash Malan. What was the purpose of Rav Yosef telling us that this is not a good get? The Kamash Malan was, She'ein Memil Agam Memil. The real potential concern was not the text, the Pashas Kiseite, V'chosavah Sefer Krisos. Rather, maybe, you know, underneath, from the back of somewhere on this parchment, there's a get written that's not so legible. So maybe one would have thought, maybe the get, if I look carefully enough, I'll find the get there. Kamash Balan, it's not going to show up because the parchment used to be treated in such a way that this may be this gold nuts juice, whatever this was. And what you don't see isn't there. And to think that maybe something was written with this quasi invisible ink that nobody can tell anyway, that's absurd, and therefore there's nothing to worry about at all. So when all the dust settles, first month, the first month, you never get, not pull out a Sefer Torah. You take out a Sefer Torah for Krisos Torah, again, it's used for being Megarish woman. So the Gemara continues now with another potential application of Hilchos Gittin, Amar Rav Chisda, get Shekos v'Shalom L'Shma. If a get was written in Shalom L'Shma, so the way the get stands now, it's absolutely possible min haTorah. The Torah says, b'chos of law, and the Teshuvah Peh explained to us, law means l'shma. And the Rambam, in his introduction to his Gerushin, so he lists off the asar dvarim ha'ma'achvim v'get min haTorah. The Rambam says there are 10 dinim that are absolutely disqualified get min haTorah. And then there are a bunch of other chumash b'drabban that were added on. So on the list of 10 is l'shma. The Rambam says, that's for sure, din min haTorah. Nobody ever questioned that. Except for some of those, but they didn't. They weren't so knowledgeable in the beginning of the first parak. But nobody ever really questioned this din. That has to be the Shema. So the way the get is written now, it's out of the question. It cannot be used. So the fellow wants to know the hevel of kumus l'shma. Can I go ahead and take a pen and simply write over the pre-existing letters l'shma? Is that acceptable or not? What's the issue? So Tosfos explains the issue as follows. On the one hand, we have a rule called Ein Ksav Agav Miksav. We looked about this earlier. If there's a first text that's written, and I just simply write over it, let's say, for Shabbos, if there's a, it says the word that says the word Bracious on a piece of paper, and I go ahead and I just write over the base, right over the Reish, right over the Aleph, that's not called writing on Shabbos. The letters are already there. It's called the Ksav Agav Ksav. So Hiluchos Gittin also, the second writing that's been done with Shema is a Ksav Agav Ksav, so it's no good. So the first writing was Shalom Lishma. The second writing was not accepted. So I don't forget the written Lishma. Or maybe tells us that maybe one can argue that here the second writing is improving, is enhancing the first writing. When do we say that Ksav Agav Ksav is meaningless? That's when, what did I gain? I didn't accomplish anything. Here, I changed a lot. I accomplished a lot. I added a whole new dimension, a whole new realm to this first Ksav, i.e. the condition of Lishma. So that's what Rav Chisda is not sure about. What's the din? So get your kos for Shalom Lishma, the heaven of Kumus Lishma, Banu Machlekes Rabbi Divra Rabbanon. So Rav Chisda says he thinks that the issue should depend on Machlekes Rabbi Divra Rabbanon in the following sense, the Sadia. Hareisha Yitzach Lichtov as Hashem. The sofer is writing the Sefer Torah, and he comes up to writing the Shem Hashem. He's about to write the Yud Kei Vav, okay? And the halacha is that when you write the Shem Hashem, you have to do it with Shema. And indeed, there are two halachas of Lishma by Sefer Torah, by Tefillin Mezuzos. The entire parish has to be written Lishma. So before the sofer even begins, he has to say, Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah, Shem Kedusha Mezuzot. And then when he gets to every time the Shem Hashem, he has to say again, already cursed of the Shem Kedusha Hashem. So this sofer was a little bit asleep. It's Kavod Lichtov Yehuda. He's looking at the tikkun. He sees the next word. His eyes weren't doing so well in the morning. And instead of thinking he's supposed to write Yud Kei Vav Kei, he thinks it says Yehuda. Yehuda. He thinks he wasn't paying attention. So he's about to write it as Yehuda. So, i.e., he didn't do it Lishma. The Lord knows the Torah. Now he made a second mistake. So his second mistake may rectify the first mistake. Flohito bal dalet. He wrote the name Yehuda without the dalet. Now, by golly, he has a Shem Hashem there. And he goes back to look at the tikkun. Oh, this is great. I've made two mistakes. My first mistake is I thought of Yehuda. My second mistake is I forgot how to spell Yehuda. So he ends up with a Yud Kei Vav Kei in place. That's perfect, beautiful, except for the fact that it wasn't written Lishma. So what do you do at that point? So Ma'avram of Kumus of Bekacho Div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda has what to say about this topic. So Reb Yehuda says, at that point, no problem. Just take your pen again, dip it into ink again, and then write over the Yud Kei Vav Kei, those letters that are there, the way they are now, the apostle, because they weren't written Lishma, they were written Yehuda, not Lishma Hashem. So rewrite over it, and that's okay. So you see, according to the Tanya of Yehuda, that although Ksav Agav Ksav is not acceptable, and the second Ksav adds the dimension of Lishma, it becomes an acceptable Ksav. The Chacham Om Ein Hashem Namavchar, and the Chacham said, that's no good, that's not going to work. That's not the way you write a Shem Hashem, and therefore it's not acceptable. So the Gemara at this point thinks that the Rabbanan's response to Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying that's not going to fly as a Shem Hashem. That's not acceptable because Ksav Agav Ksav is not acceptable even under these circumstances. So Rabbi Chisda thought that the same question should spill over to a get. So it's not exactly the Shem Hashem, but it has to be written the Shema. So I wrote the get Shalom Shema, and then I want to rectify it by writing over the same letters of the Shema. Will that work? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it works by the Shem Hashem, it'll work by a get. And according to the Chum, it won't work in either case. Omer v'acha b'Yaakov, duma lohi. V'acha b'Yaakov said, no, the two cases are not the same. Ad kan look, Amr Rabbanan Hossam. When the Rabbanan say that just simply writing over the Ksav is going to work, it's not going to work, but is a keli v'andem v'leka. Because it has to be nice. The Shem Hashem has to be written pretty. It's going to look very, very messy in this way. Because if you think about it, the rest of the letters are going to be a certain shade of ink, and the Shem Hashem is going to be bold. It's going to be a double shade, twice the amount. I know something's like on my notes, and, you know, for Shia. But most of my Talmidim are already on computers. I'm still from the 1970s. So everything is arrows and crossouts and tracing over, and sometimes it wasn't clear, so a bold of something. So when you write your notes for Shia, it can look like a mess. When you write a secretary, it can't look like a mess. It can't look like you forgot, you did, you rectified, you fixed it up, it looks dark, it looks like it doesn't look right. So that's the reason why the Chacham says it's no good. A get doesn't have to look pretty. A get has to be kosher. The secretary has to be pretty. So we cannot tell necessarily that the Chacham would disqualify in the case of a get. So the market deals with another fascinating insight of Rav Chisda. Amr Rav Chisda, Yachilna l'mefsulinu l'kulei gita d'alma. Rav Chisda said, if I want, I can show you enough lumdas that can throw into question the kashrus of all gittin in the world. don't know if we want to do that. But Rav Chisda is saying that I'm going to show you that every get has a potential problem. There are solutions to the problem. No, Rav Chisda is not really doing it. He's saying, Yechil no lefal sanidrei. I could have theoretically disqualified all get in the world. So his son-in-law, Rav, asked him, I'm like, Rav, my time, well, what's wrong with the get in that you're throwing a curveball at? Maybe the reason is because the Torah says that he has to write against, which sounds like the husband has to write it, or at least if this husband doesn't know how to write it himself, he has to pay the sofer to write it. So v'hocha ika kasvalei. In reality, the one who pays the sofer is actually the woman. The husband does not pay the sofer to write the get. Why is that? So the Gemara says at the end of the Basra, that Chazal made it takana, that we should insist that the woman pays for the get, simply to protect the women. Because if you're going to tell the husband he has to pay for the get, that's a little cheap. He's going to say, I'm not paying $500 for the sofa's fees. I'm out of here. He'll skip out and never write her again. So we say to him, listen, it's not a first line to the husband when he's hesitant to write it yet. It's not going to cost you anything. Don't worry. It's for free. You tell a guy something's for free, he's more likely to do it. Tell a guy it's going to cost him $500, he's less likely to do it. So Chazal said to the woman, listen, we know it's going to cost you a couple $100. It's in your best interest that the husband doesn't do it now. You pay for the get. So that's what the Mishnah says in Mother Masa, that women pay for the get. The problem is, Rav Chisda says, if the woman's paying for the get, so he, the husband, is not really writing the get. He's not sponsoring the get. And maybe that's a problem. But the Mishnah says, nah, it's not a problem. Even if Acha Ika Kasfa, don't worry. That it's true that she is paying literally, this money's coming out of her pocket, but the Chachamim were marked that they gave that money over to the husband. So the Chachamim through Hefker, Mezer, Hefker, they declared the money, although it was on her credit card, we're making believe halachically it's as if he paid it. So we transfer the money over to him, and he quote unquote pays for it. We can breathe a sigh of relief. It's not a chisar. It's not a problem of a chosar. So that wasn't really what was bothering Rav Chisda. So what was bothering Rav Chisda? The Yalam Mishum Bechsev V'nosan. The Torah says V'nosan V'yada. So V'nosan sounds like, it has to be like a matana, something that's really worth something. V'hocha lo yav l'midi. Gives it that cheap piece of paper. The paper's not even worth a pruta. So we don't find the halacha is that a get has to be written on a piece of paper that's worth anything. Wait a second. Why is that good? Right on a scrap piece of paper, is that worth a penny? Maybe that's not called a Messina. So the Gemara says, nah, Duma Messina is Getty. The Gemara says that there is no halacha, it has to be a matana. It doesn't have to be of any value to it. The word Venosa doesn't mean he gives her a gift of an expensive piece of paper with the writing on it. Venosa means he physically hands her something. If he hands her a piece of junk that has a get written on it, that's also called Venosa. And he says, I'll prove to you, Teda. The Shalcha Mitam, there was a message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Kosval Yisrael no kosher. You could write it again on a cheeseburger also. You could write again on something that's also bano, something that you're not allowed to derive benefit from. Even though something that you can't derive benefit from is obviously not worth a pruta. It's not worth anything. You can't do anything with it. You can't sell the store. Nevertheless, there is no halacha that again has to be written on anything of any value whatsoever. And therefore, we can breathe a sigh of relief all again in the kosher. So the Rav Chisda started off by saying, maybe there's a problem with that gittin. Maybe the fact that the wife pays, that's a problem. The Gemara says, nah, not a problem. Maybe there's a problem that he's not giving us something of substance, of real value. Nah, it's not a problem either. But Baruch Hashem, the gittin is still good, notwithstanding Rav Chisda's potential objections. So now the Gemara goes to elaborate upon that statement that we said in Gufo, we learned before. Shalchemitam, there was a message sent from the Bnei Eretz Yisrael to the Bnei Bavel. Kosva li suriha no kosher. A get that's written on a dover asuba no is going to be kosher. Amr Vashi, afananami tanina. So Vashi says, I'll prove to you that is the halacha, that the piece of paper or the background for the get doesn't have to be worth all that much. Based on our Mishnah, our Mishnah gave us an example. You can write a get on the leaf of an olive tree. Yeah. Last we checked on the market, a leaf from an olive tree is not selling for all that much money. So obviously it's not going to be worth more than a pruta. So the Mishnah says explicitly that it's okay. So this tradition that was sent from the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael to the Amoraim of Bavel seems to be supported by the Mishnah. This is not necessarily. Maybe the leaf of an olive tree, it's true. One leaf of an olive tree is not worth a pruta. But if you have a lot of leaves from an olive tree, you should do something with it. I guess you could eat them. I guess you use firewood. I don't know what you can do with olive or leaves, but I guess something. So maybe the halacha is that the item proper doesn't have to be a pruta, but it has to be something that could potentially lead to a pruta. Whereas the cheeseburger, the oil, the carrot, etc., are worthless forever and ever and ever. Maybe they're no good. But the bottom line is the halacha is the same. The halacha is that Yisurena are in fact kosher. And that's what the Gemara quotes in Brayse, Tanya. Rebbe, I met Kosvali Yisurena are kosher. And Rebbe Hanasi in the Brayse, although it doesn't say it explicitly in the Mishnah. Rebbe Hanasi also was an author of several Brayses. So he says explicitly, if you write it on a Dabar Osmana, it's going to be kosher. Nafak Levi, Levi was one of the Tamid of Rebbe Hanasi. So Levi.
You could order olive leaf tea online.
There you go. Okay. So enough leaves to get yourself at least a proof's worth of a cup of tea. So I guess today, yeah, just got in here. So Nafak Levi went out and he taught this halacha. Darshu Mishpreid the Rebbe. That he said over this halacha that something written on Yisur HaNoah is still okay. And he said in the name of the Nafsi, below Kalsua. And the people didn't accept it. They thought, maybe that's just Rabbi Nafsi's personal shita. We spake the rabbin. Then he said it later in the name of the Tzibim, maybe the other Chachamim, the Kalsua. And it was in fact accepted. You see that is the halacha. So the different opinions, how do you see that the halacha? Either for the fact that maybe went the extra mile to keep on trying to convince everybody that's the din. You see, that is really what the accepted halacha is. Or maybe from the fact that it was considered to be Mishpei the Rabbim, that it's everybody who was accepted once was presented as being the majority of you. So let me say that's the din. Let me slice it. It's clear for the Gemara that is the final halacha. So tell me about it. Now the Gemara goes into other details about the writing of the get. The kasa below chokka. When you write a get, so you have to write it with some kind of an ink on some kind of a background. You cannot engrave a get. Chakika would not be acceptable. So yes, the Gemara, the name of the chakika laf ksivahi. Does that mean to say that when the halacha requires chakika, the halacha requires to write something, engraving, carve it to stone, that's not called the ksiva, really? Is that true? We have a contradiction. We have a Bryce that tells us, Evet shiyotz b'ksav shal gabi tavla upinkas yotz l'cheiris. And Evet Kenani, if you want to free Evet Kenani, so one of the ways of doing it, you have to write him ishtar shichra. And all the halachas of writing a document to free Evet Kenani are similar to a get. They're actually derived one from another. We have the Torah Shabbat tells us, we have halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Torah uses the phrase b'chas of Allah by a get, and he uses the phrase chub sholamit Allah by freeing an Evet Kenani. So the Torah explains to us the word la is one of the official Zerush Shabbat given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. And all of the dinim of Ksivus again carry over to Evet Kenani, the Shema, etc. So when it comes to a Shichur and Evet Kenani, the Braisa says that if an Evet's walking around with a writing on a tavla pinkas, the tavla is like a tablet. He's walking around with something which is engraved onto a tablet or a stone or wood or something. So the letters are carved in, you are free. It's not written on the tablet, it's carved into the tablet. That's a good get. So if it's a good get, then obviously it's a good, I'm sorry, it's a good Shtar Shichur. And obviously, it's a good get as well. The price just finishes. However, what's not acceptable is what if a person didn't forget about not writing the Shtar Shechur, he didn't even carve in the letters. He literally, like the Rashi says, like embroidered it onto something. He sewed it onto some kind of a background. So that is that would not be acceptable. That's not considered to be writing altogether. Maybe a very, very pretty piece of artwork, but that's not considered to be writing. So it comes to Gemara and says, how do you explain this seeming contradiction? Is carving into stone, or carving onto a piece of wood, onto a tablet, is that good? Is that no good? So Amu'ula, Amu Rabbi Lozer, it depends. It depends what the carving was. So if you, let's say you have a stone background, and you carve the letters in, so you form the letters, that's perfectly acceptable. There is no difference whether you take ink and put it on a piece of paper or you chisel away into a stone. That's all right. The problem is if you don't chisel into the stone, but rather you push back the entire background. So you push back the stone, and now the only part that you didn't push back was the letters. So the letters are bolate. They're now on top of the stone, and they got that way not because I formed the letters, but I pushed everything else in the background away. That's what's called chaktochos, and that's not acceptable. Chakirechos means that I formed the yerech, the legs of the letter himself. So the basic idea being, the act of writing requires some action. I have to be the one who's forming the letter. Simply pushing away the background and having the letter show up by itself, That's no good. That's what the Rishon quote, the halacha is, both the Duchas Gittin and the Sefer Torah, which is a very important halacha. Let's say I'm writing in a Sefer Torah, and I'm about to write the Yud, and a little bit of ink spills, and I got a big blob of ink now on the cloth, and it's a little low on ink, so instead of erasing the blob, I want to just kind of chisel away a little bit. I'll erase a little bit over here, a little bit over here, the leg will come into place, and the whole Yud was now formed by itself. So that letter is Pasul Ben HaTorah. The Torah says, Chsafdam, Kisvulachem, it has to be a Ksiva. That's called the Chakika. That's called forming a letter, not through the actual forming proper. This is a big, big question. Allah has surfaced. Be very, very careful about this. When I say self, wants to make a correction. Let's say, relating, and the Bakari says, oh, yeah, yeah, that's supposed to be a Yud. It looks like a Vav. We call it a kid. The kid says, yeah, it looks like a Vav. So you have to fix it. The letter, the Sefer Torah is possible the way it is. So what does the sofer do? He takes out a little razor blade and scrapes away a little bit of the vav. Guess what? Now I have a yud. Now you have a posel sefer Torah midaraisa because you form the yud through a chakika. You have to erase the letter and start over again in order to write again, which causes problems in tefillah mezuzah. Tefillah mezuzah has to be written, considered, has to be written in order. If you erase the letter, hopefully it's possible. So a sofer has to be very, 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 very careful. Whenever you start to scratch things, that you're asking for trouble potentially in terms of chaktochos. So the bottom line is that chaktochos is not considered to be a ksiva, and it would not be good for a get, nor for shashichu, nor for sevtot from the tzuzus. It's chakirechos. If you carved in the letters, obviously not the same term, but if you carved in the letters in a get or shashichu, that would be acceptable. Yes, Kzimara, really? The tochos lo? Is it really true that chaktochos is not acceptable? You know, loyek sabah shokea elabolate. He didn't resolve tochazein. So the Bryce is discussing the tzitz. So the tzitz, the Torah says, "Nichta pituche chosam." You have to write the letters on the tzitz that go to war. Kedesh Hashem. And the Torah says, "Nichta pituche chosam." Has to be exceed. It has to be an act of writing. So the way the letters of Kedesh Hashem looked on the tzitz, so it was not shirkeya. It wasn't carved in. Rather, it was bolate. It looked like a dina, like a coin. The same way on a coin, you have a picture on the coin, you have the letters on a coin. So you have the letters that were belate, that they were protruding outward. So the one says, wait a second, how did that happen? Isn't the way you form the letters on the coin, you push away the background of the coin, and then the name of the letters are there. So if you're going to tell me that's not called the ksiv, that's called chaktochos, the Torah says that you have to write the letters. You have to actually write the letters. So the whole tzitz was puzzled. Tzitz was possible in the Torah because it wasn't written properly. It says, no. Kedin reizav v'lo kedin reizav. It looked like coins, but not exactly like coins. Kedin reizav the bullet. Yes, it was protruding outwards. V'lo kedin reizav, but not quite like din reizav, not like quite like golden coins. Yilhasam tochos achi areichos. They formed it from the back. Because if you think about it, if you have a piece of metal, so you can form letters in the metal in multiple ways. Either you can carve in the letters, they did not do that in the tzitz, or you could push back the background. They didn't do that either. That would be chaktochos. What they did do is they went from the back and they pushed out the letters from the back. Yeah, pretty hot when you're molding the metal. So you have to push the letters out from the back. That's called an actual ksiva. So the bottom line is, it looked like a coin, but it wasn't formed by the pushing back of a background. Rather, it was formed by the active pushing of the coin proper. So the bottom line is, every ksiva in halacha, whether it's a get, whether it's a mezuzah, shashichra, or the tzitz for that matter, has to be accomplished through an active form of ksiva. Cannot be accomplished through a pushing back of background. There's a fascinating machlokes in the poskim about the tefillin. About we have halacha mashim say that the shin, you have to have shin on tefillin. So it was a question that we showed him about, is there a bit of ksivas hashin? If the halacha mashim is you have to write the shin, or is that halacha mashim was you have to have a shin there? How it got there, I couldn't care less how it got there. So even if it got there through pushing back backgrounds, that would be acceptable. So on some of the less expensive pairs of tefillin, so they used to, it was much easier to use a mold. We just stick it into some mold, we just push the background back, and then the nail of the shoe would be belayed. So there were some posts who did it like that. And that was the beginning in Europe. They used to be making on the shayla. But the more expensive pairs of tefillin, and pretty much today, we have the way our tefillin are made today, anyone who wants any good pair of tefillin, so the shoe is actually formed, literally like with tweezers, as the when the leather is soft, so the batemacher sits there, and he pulls out the shin. One can imagine it takes time. It's a general rule in life. You pay for the work. So it's a much longer, tedious kind of a job. You're just simply sticking into a mold, it's going to cost you a lot more money. But for my sense, the more correct thing to do is that the shin should be formed in the proper way. It shouldn't be even a potential chashash of chak toiches. So now the Gemara has a... No. They pushed it from the background. What they do today, I think, with the bottom, I'm saying, they literally sit with a tweezer and they pull it out from the front. I think they literally pull it out when the leather is still wet.
But the tzitz couldn't be used with a form.
Right. It will. You can use a form. You have to do something from the back of the metal.
So form would be exceeding.
But only if you push out the thing, not push back the background. So there are different kinds of form. There are different kinds of molds you can use. Right. If you use a mold on the front, which is pushing back the background and just having the osseous remain, so that you didn't form the osseous. If you have some kind of a thing from the back, so you did form the osseous. It all depends if you actually form the osseous, if the osseous
form. So it's filling. If you did that, it is ksiva.
Again, we pass in the Lach Mikra that even the mold would be good because we pass there's no ksiva sashin. It's just that the shin has to be there. The Halach saying is that we have to write the shin. But Lachat Chiva, many posts can say he's supposed to mamish write it. That's what we do. We literally pull it out with the tweezers. So I'm going to Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi a question. Roshma mechret charetz atirufi machir. So this is a type of a chosam. Rashi gives the word, in case you weren't sure what the old French word is. It's chosam or beshgon coins. Coins. So he says that the way they would form the coins, so Ravina asked Ravashi, was this done in such a way that would be a question of chachtar chasana? Was it mechret charetz or kenufi machir? Rashi gives you a whole explanation. My knowledge of metalworking is not where it should be. Rashi gives you the two different ways of understanding. Was it really pulling out the pictures themselves, or is it just simply, you know, kind of shoving aside all the background that's eventually causing the pictures to appear? So it wasn't clear exactly this particular making of coins. I think I was I cannot say. What? No. If we use a similar kind of a thing for halachic times when we need it, let's say we formed the get that way, we made a get using these kinds of molds, would that pass the test of ksiva? Would that be called chatavos? So Amar mechret charetz. So he said to him that technically that would be a potential problem. So Esve, he asked the question, so the same question we said before, but it sounds like the tzitz was done that way, like didn't resolve, and it sounds like we're accepted that. These are the type of mechret charetz, telling me that the molds of the coins are a problem. That's what the Gemara says, exactly what we said before. Kedin Rezov alo Kedin Rezov. It looked like a coin, but it was made with a different kind of an action. Kedin Rezov the bolek. Yes, it was bolek. It was protruding outwards. But lo Kedin Rezov, that the coins, the mold was put on the outside, but pushing away all the background. That was a problem. Whereas here we went literally from the other direction. And if you go from the other direction and you push the letters out, so that's going to be acceptable. So, if you want to write a get, you want to write a shtashikh, you want to go to the or a tits for that matter, you have to make sure you are forming letters. Either form letters by putting ink on the parchment or by pushing out a mold rather than pushing away the background. Push away the background, that's going to be a problem. Okay, we'll stop here.